Jeff Verhoeven for Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet590.ca. Every time a man, JT, from the Inner Circle Agency brings somebody in, I always say that it's the highlight. I'm super, super excited, super stoked. But legitimately, I am super pumped to introduce the guest that we have in studio right now. Legitimately, my favorite fighter of all time. Former Pride FC middleweight champion, UFC contender right now. And of course, I'm wearing my Pride FC shirt. Vanderlei Silva, the Axe Murderer, is in studio right now, along with JT from the Inner Circle Agency. Vanderlei, thanks so much for doing this. How are you?
Very good. I'm so happy to be back from here in Toronto. I have a lot of friends over here. Thanks for the words. No, it's, I'm so good. I love to come here, and I hope I saw a lot of friends this weekend.
Yeah, and as I was saying before we started up here, that we need to get a Vanderlei Silva fight in Toronto. Like, it needs to happen.
Yeah, after I saw the St. Pierre's fight here in the Dodgers, no?
Yeah.
Man, this is a great event. I hope one day I come to fight here. It's one of the places in the world and I really, really want to come to fight.
Yeah, and if you want to meet Vanderlei Silva, he's all over the place this weekend. He's at Ivy Social Club in Vaughan tonight. Tomorrow, Saturday, August 17th, he's at MMA World Academy for an autograph signing between 1 and 3 p.m. That's in Scarborough. Of course, we have the fights tomorrow night. He'll be at Boston Pizza signing autographs. So you can watch the fights with him. That one is Highway 400 and Maple View in Barrie. And then on Sunday, there's another autograph signing. This one in Hamilton at Vintage Barbershop, 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. So, I'm just going to go right back to the start of your mixed martial arts career. And, you know, people in Canada, we know about Brazilians in Brazil, and we automatically think soccer. So how did you not go into soccer and you got into, you know, Vale Tudo, bare knuckle fighting, and then mixed martial arts?
Because I don't know. I don't know to play soccer. Okay. I play soccer very, very, very bad. The guys never choice me to the gym. No? I'm the last guy going to the goal. And I like to make the goal. No? I don't like to be a goalkeeper. And now after I started to train for lost weight, because I'm a chubby kid, you know, a fat kid. Mm-hmm. I started to train to lost weight, and after that I started compete in the gym. I started one, and I create this style, you know. And but in the first couple of years, I think it's a luck because I beat the guys fast.
Yeah,
a lot of guys are in the gym. No, some we have the belt test, and I beat all the guys in the first round, second round. But in the first couple of years, I think it's a look. But, man, I have a look for a long time.
Absolutely. And, I mean, like you said, you're beating guys left, right, and center very, very quickly, which, you know, got you the eye of the UFC at the time, and you went in there and fought a couple of times. But, you know, there was the fight with Vitor Belfort. People remember the fight with Tito Ortiz. But I think what people probably know you most from is your days in Pride, where you were just the most dominant 205-pound fighter in the world. Talk about that run in Pride, the fights with, you know, Sakuraba, which sort of made you, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you went into Pride in Japan, maybe you weren't the most loved guy, but once you started beating Sakuraba and he gave you respect, you became sort of like a fan favorite there.
Yeah. After that fight with Sakuraba, my life changed, you know, because Sakuraba in that days is the, like I understand today, you know, he beat everybody. He beat a lot of Brazilian guys. He beat, I think, 7 Brazilian guys in a row. And everybody wanted to see somebody can beat him. And in the fight, I beat him in 1.5 minutes. And the Japanese crowd, don't celebrate. The guys be quiet in this stadium.
Yeah.
And after that, and then the other day, I've been in the newspaper for 10 different newspapers all of Japan. And after that, I started to build my name. And the guys started to put me more the big names. I fight, you know, the heavyweights, all kind of fighters. And I start to one with good performance, and that's the Vanderlei Silva born.
I don't know if you can gauge this, but how big of a celebrity were you in Japan during that run with Pride?
No, I think no, just in Japan. I'm so lucky because I have friends around the world, and here in Toronto, no, is a special place for me. And before now, I make a couple of commercials in the open channel in Brazil. I've been in the open channels in Brazil making the programs. But before that, I'm more famous here in Toronto than my hometown. Like, I come here, I walk in the street a lot, because the Canadian guys love fight.
Yep.
Here's the country, you know, here's the place. And the people love to fight, the people love. I think in one of the places in the world can I have more fans is here in Toronto, because the Canadian guys is a crazy like me. The guys like to see the aggressive fight, they like to see the blood, is the reason can I have so much fun here.
And we're speaking with Vanderlei Silva, the axe murderer, former Pride FC middleweight champion and current UFC fighter. JT is also here from the Inner Circle Agency. JT, what do you have a favorite Vanderlei moment? Like, what's your favorite Vanderlei fight or moment from his long career?
There's so many.
Yeah.
There's so many. What got me hooked to him was the first time I watched him fight was against Tito Ortiz.
Yep.
And that was a very close fight. But every fight that he fights in, you know it's going to be exciting.
Oh.
It doesn't matter win, lose, or draw. He brings it. And I've never seen anybody with the kind of fan base that he has.
Yeah.
You know, when I was in Las Vegas for UFC 132, when Bader fought Tito, he was fighting Chris Lieben. He had about 250 to 300 people in the stands all wearing Vanderlei t-shirts. And yeah, these people were rabid.
Yeah.
Brazilian flag. And I could understand why they gravitate towards him, because he treats everybody with respect. And that is a true, true sign of a person who cares about their fans.
Absolutely.
That's why people will come and watch him, win, lose, or draw. And that's something very, very special.
For sure. And I think the thing that fans really love about you is your style of fighting. It's, you know, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to knock you out, or I'm going to get knocked out. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to come forward all the time. Has there ever been a point in your career where you thought maybe I should sort of back off and start, you know, fighting a little bit defensively? Or is it just always let's go all the way out and let's just put on a show for the fans?
Yeah, no, right now, since my last fight, I changed a little bit my style. You know, I be a little bit more careful, but after I connected the punch, I try to decide. And that's true. Or I'll be there or I knock out, or the guy going to knock out him. No, knock out me. Because I like to give the emotion for the fans. The guy pay for the ticket. The guy's waiting 4, 5, 6, 1 year for watch our fight. You can't be like, make some points, going around. You know, have a lot of kind of fights. And a lot of kind of victories, you know. I prefer, you know, make a good show, make emotion, won or lost, that's just a result. I'll be there to give my best and make the people's happy.
That's real right there.
And how do you not love a guy like that?
That's real.
Yeah.
You can't get any more real than that.
Yeah.
You can't.
Absolutely. No, you touched on your last few fights, and I want to talk about the Brian Stann fight, because that was your first fight in years that you had in Japan, which you won in spectacular fashion. What was the feeling like when you finished Brian Stann in Japan and the place just erupted? Like, I don't know if you can take me through what you were feeling, but to me, that would be an incredible feeling.
Yeah, man, I'm so happy that God is so good with me, because who feel what I feel in my life is incredible. No? Like, be in the stadium for 50,000, 30,000, no, around the world. No, every place can I fight around the world is sold out. The people are crazy. No, I fight in Australia, I fight in Germany, I fight in Brazil, I fight in Japan right now, the last. And, man, the reception of the public is priceless, no? This one sensation, kid, because in my life I never fought for money. No, money is a consequence. No, come and go, you know? But the emotion can you feel is incredible. And that day is one of the best days of my career, because in a long time I have a good fights. But no, like that. No, I don't have one brave guy can came to fight with me. He don't afraid. He came. No, he's strong, and I'm so happy, man. I don't have words to say how to describe.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that moment. You know, I saw like a close to 30,000 people stand up
it'd be incredible.
Yeah, it's, we don't have a team. It's a one-to-one. No?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't be in your bad day.
Yeah.
You need to be good. And I feel so happy. No, I'm so happy for the support my fans give to me around the world. And that day is one of the best days of my life.
You went through your Pride run, and I got to ask about the Rampage Jackson feuds and those two fights, because I think, in my opinion, from your Pride run, I think those two fights with Rampage were, aside from the Sakuraba fights, maybe the fights that people remember you most about. And I think it was the way that you fought those fights, but also sort of the lead up into it, and not so much a pro wrestling sort of angle, but, you know, it was a lot of big rivalry between you two. So talk about those two fights and the rivalry that you have with Rampage Jackson.
Yeah, no, these fights for him would be a tough fight. He's a tough opponent. Mm-hmm. He's big, he's warrior, you know, and he don't afraid. He came to fight, and I'm so happy for that fight, because in his in both fights, but in the second fight, when I give the knee, he dropped in the ropes. Yeah. That's some of the best, the beautiful moments in all history, you know, because you saw no just for the plastic moment, but with who being the ropes.
Yeah, and they're sort of like a legendary. I think it was the first fight where you guys sort of, you had him in the clinch and you were throwing those knees and you sort of smiled at each other. Talk about that. It's just in the heat of the moment where, you know, you sort of have him and he realizes that you've got him and you realize that you've got him and you sort of have that moment where you just sort of smile at each other.
Yeah, because after I connect, I start to go, but he's so strong. He might have the neck like that size, man. He's a big dude. He's a 220, 230. He's a strong guy. Yeah. For he be 205, it's too hard for him. And I start to give the knees. I give a lot of knees in the face, but he don't going down. Mm. And 1 hour now, I hold him, I look at him, he's my tree, like, say, man, you don't gonna beat me. Well, let's gonna see. And no, and after that, I give it one more punch, one more knee, and he going down.
He went down. And then, of course, there was a transition into the UFC. I know that Dana White tried a bunch of times to try and get you to fight Chuck Liddell while you were still with Pride, and while Chuck was the light heavyweight champion in the UFC, and unfortunately, they never happened. And then finally, with Pride shutting down and the Sakakibaras going out of business and you going into UFC, you had this big debut with Chuck Liddell, which was, I think, one of my favorite fights. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Wait, that was UFC 79?
79, so, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the year-end show. Chuck Liddell, Vanderlei Silva finally happening, and it lived up to the hype.
Yeah, no, that's one of my favorite fights. Chuck Liddell is a kind of a guy can you know you're going to hurt yourself. He's a tough guy. He's big. His shoulders are that size. He don't pass the door, no. and he's a good fighter, really good fighter. And in that fight, I'm so happy because of my first fight when I back to the UFC. And the guys nominated that fight to the second best fight of the history from the 10 years from the UFC. This for me, I'm so happy for that because when I be inside the cage, that's what I do. When I fight, I wanted to make the fight of the night. I wanted to make everybody remember me after the finished event. The finished event, the guy's going to say, man, having the guy in the event, he's crazy. He really wanted this victory.
Yeah. So you fought a few times for the UFC, and then all of a sudden Dana White started hinting, you know, I'd love to see Vanderlei drop to 185. A lot of people were saying, you know, maybe the middleweight division is where Vanderlei Silva wanted to be. How difficult a decision was it to drop down in weight class, considering how much success that you've had at 205 pounds?
Yeah, but right now is the new moment in instance in the MMA. So you saw the size of John Jones, that guy going to fight for him, the Gustamasson, no?
Gustafsson, yeah.
Yeah, man, Toronto, this guy is a huge guy.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm shocked. No, have the guys fight 170 is taller than me.
Yeah.
And I have too much bones, no? For me, drop 185 is very hard. Mm-hmm. And right now, for a fighting, I'm going to check. You know, fight 185 need to be a really good reason, no?
Yeah.
And because for me, it was more comfortable fighting 205, but I can't think I'm going to fight with these giants. No, maybe. I don't know, but I fight with a couple big guys. But it's a new moment in the MMA. We need to respect that. And I wanted to make interesting fights, you know? Like that fight with Brian Stan, he fights 205, too. He fights 185, too. And him in 205, we saw him have more power, more energy. And that for that reason, can the fight going so good like that?
You mentioned interesting fights at 185, and tomorrow night we have UFC. It's carried on Sportsnet here. Chael Sonnen versus Shogun Hua, a guy that you've trained with for many years, opposite a guy that has been talking a lot of stuff about you recently. I'm interested to get your take on how you think this fight's going, and then your opinion of what Chael Sonnen's been doing and how he's been calling you out.
I think Shogun gonna hurt this Sonnen, man. Because, you know, see, you saw like the last fights, he talking so much, but he don't doing what he say. You know, he don't want these fights. You know, like, you know, talking is good, but you need to, when you be inside the cage, you need to prove, you know, okay, you're going to do what you say. No, and I think Shogun going to retire tomorrow.
So that being said, if that's the way you feel, do you have an interest in fighting Chael Sonnen, or do you legitimately think that this might be his last fight?
No, I need to look at what's going to happen in this fight, you know? Because, man, for me, it's not interesting to fight the guy who lost 3 fights in a row. And what is this going to give to me? I'm not going to give you an opportunity for a fight to the belt. No, one strong name. But not my decision. No? So the UFC want, the fans want. Why not? No, I'm waiting for the boss call me and tell me what he wants. No, because he's the owner of the camp. He's the owner of the ball.
Right.
And the public, he will tell what the public wants.
What do you think? Do you think that's a fight that people want to see? Or do
you know what? My opinion on this is very, very cut and dry. You know, if you talk a lot of smack and you insult opponents, the way he insulted the Brazilian people mm-hmm. with Anderson Silva, the way he insulted John Jones, the way he's insulting Wanderlei Silva, you can talk all this smack, but if you continually get into the octagon and lose
within 2 rounds,
okay, and you don't even put up a fight, and then you continue to talk crap constantly, how are the true MMA fans going to take you seriously?
Yep.
If you're going to talk smack, back it up.
Yep.
If you're going to talk smack and come into a fight, make it a competitive fight. That fight with John Jones was an embarrassment. Yeah. Thank God John Jones gave him a beat.
It's embarrassing to fight
you know,
like
so,
that.
No,
he waiting for the punch for... Oh, for me, it's okay. You know? You're going to fight. Because Sonnen is a good fighter. He's good. He's a good wrestler.
He's a good wrestler.
Yeah. I saw he's a really good fighter. But it's a difference when you're talking and fighting for the money. It's different when you're talking and you'll be there to bleeding to give your best. No, you can't wait for 2-1 punch and say, and do
I'm
that.
Done. Yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah.
I think that's not a kind of situation and I like it.
This is an American gangster thing. I don't understand
yeah.
it for the life of me.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. And a lot of people are feeding into it. Like yesterday they had an interview with Kenny Florian and Daniel Cormier.
Mm-hmm.
They were adding to the fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
You know, building this nonsense up. But I'm saying it, and Wanderlei just said it too. I think Shogun is going to put a beating on him tomorrow night.
I think we need to give the lights. We need to growing up the good fighters. Mm. No, the fighters can be there and make the show. The guys can really want to fight, want to prove, want to make the show interesting. You know, I think in the fans, like what you say. The real fans know
yeah.
what these guys wanted to do. No?
Exactly.
Like a man, like, okay, he tell for me some things can he tell about the Anderson, about the Anderson's wife. Man,
yeah.
this is disrespecting me, man. See, he be close to me, he's going to be danger. No, man, because we live in the man words, man word. We have some rules. No,
of course.
Since
respect.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Respect. That's what
because,
it is.
Because, man, imagine I come and say, man, I'm gonna slap in your wife's butt.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Don't bring the families.
No family, yeah. no country, no. We need to respect some rules. So I talk just about you, man. I'm gonna beat you. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. It's okay.
Sure, yeah.
But when you pass that, not much fun.
The Brazilian so, people.
Lost the respect.
As a country, have absolutely no respect for him.
Yeah.
Period. There's certain things, like a lot of things he said, you know, push the limit of very untasteful
mm-hmm.
behavior.
Yeah, because we have a lot
he's
of...
He's never fought there, too. He's never gone there. He's
well,
never back
I don't think he'll be able to make it out of Brazil
well, that's,
alive.
That's a good point.
With some
yeah.
of the stuff that he said.
Yep.
This is some things you just don't... And Anderson Silva was very, you know, courteous and classy in the way he handled it, inviting him to come to a barbecue to his house afterwards. But I'm just surprised he even did that with some of the crap that came out of his mouth. Seriously.
I like that you brought up Anderson Silva because I know that you've trained with Anderson Silva in the past. And of course, on a lot of mixed martial arts fans' minds is what happened with the Chris Weidman fight, with Anderson dropping his hands and sort of backing up and whatnot, doing what he has done in the past that he's been successful with. What's your take on what happened with Anderson Silva and Chris Weidman in that fight?
I think because one of the first fights, can he fight with the guy tall like him, and we don't have like a half inch more.
Right, reach.
A half inch more, no? Mm-hmm. And this half inch can be bad.
No? Got you.
When this half inch be in, but I think because he... Okay, we don't have a good first round, take him down, but he feel the pressure. He started to be tired because it's too much pressure. Mm-hmm. It just make you tired. No, I think in the finish the first round, Anderson dominated the fight. Mm-hmm. See him back fight, he back serious to the second round. I think for sure he gonna beat Weidman in that night. Mm-hmm. But right now, the other guy is the champion. Anderson is the challenger. The other guy is a 10 years young, you know, and he don't afraid Anderson anymore.
Yeah.
You know, Anderson gonna need to run to go. One situation a long time he don't be, you know?
Yeah.
I think because the guy's fighting right now, because when we be stars, we have a lot of business outside. We need to be father. We need to be businessman. We need to do a lot of things. And we need to look, and he just fight, he's going to fight him again.
Yeah.
And we need to look at who going to train him more for that fight.
Yeah.
Who training more, who be serious, and who make the focus going to win that fight. But it's a really interesting fight. And I hope he understands. He's my friend.
Yeah.
But, you know, the new champion, we need to give the congratulations for him because he's doing a really good job.
If Anderson wins the title back and you're fighting at 185, there's all this talk about, you know, friends don't want to fight each other and training partners and whatnot. Is that a fight that you'd be willing to take would be against Anderson Silva, or are you sort of under the mindset of like 185 is his division, I'm just in for big fights now?
No. I don't fight against him. No. Before, no, because right now in my last three fights, I make it four bonus. I make three fights of the night. In the last, I make two fights of the night and knockout of the night. I came from the good results, and when the guy won two or three fights in a row, the guy's talking about the belt. But I talking with Anderson, I don't want to fight. He's my friend for 10 years, no, and you know, have good money to make and bad money to make. Money came, money go. No, I'm gonna wait until we have the new champion. Maybe the new champion won. Yeah. Maybe it's interesting for me, but yeah. Anderson, no.
Okay. I'm going to get into my own fandomonium here, and I want to talk to you about a couple of things. I want to talk to you about your famous stare down face that you have, which I think is one of the most frightening things in all of mixed martial arts, and the intensity that you get leading into a fight when you're just about to, you know, go at it with your opponent. Is it just pure intimidation, or do you get into a place where you actually don't like the guy and that's just sort of psyching yourself up?
No, I use my body expression to change my mind and make my confidence in, because I think have some guys can be bad just with these opponents. With these opponents, the guys be that size, be a giant.
Yeah.
But with the tough guys, the guys be, you know, not be so good. You need to fight the same with everyone. As especially when the guys give it to you, one tough guy, like when a guy fight against Krokop. Mm. Man, Krokop is 107 kilos lean, yeah. Skin.
Yeah.
The guy is a tough guy, tough dude, tough opponent. That day, I say, look at Steven, man, this guy gonna kill me here. I don't defense myself, man. This guy gonna kick my butt. You know, you need to fight. Because that kind of fight puts you in another level in the MMA history, you know?
Yep. The wrists, the move in the wrists. How did that start?
I started a long time ago because I do for warm up my joints here, you know, and to show to my opponent can I'm gonna to give it some gonna have some action.
And then one of the things that I'm a big pro wrestling fan as well. And one of the things that I think is one of the most underrated aspects of mixed martial arts is having a consistent entrance song that you can associate with a fighter. I mean, Uriah Faber has California Love. Michael Bisping comes out to Blur. And you've always walked out, as far as I know, as I remember, to Sandstorm by Darude, which when you think about it, doesn't necessarily throw intimidation at people, but it works for you. So talk about, you know, just coming out consistently and having that bond that as soon as that first few notes hit, people know Vanderlei Silva's walking out.
Yeah, one friend came back to Holland a long time ago, back with one CD. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a ride, and he put that sound. He said, man, look at that sound. That's going to be your next sound. Your next sound you're going to enter right now. And I put, and the public like it. I like the sound. It's a good sound, you know. The guys make the lights.
Yeah.
It makes the entire experience that much better. Yeah, it makes perfect. And after that, I start to use it, and I like it.
I want to talk about your health. And it's been, you know, March 3rd was the last time we saw you fight. You got a fight lined up? Are you still talking? Are you healthy? What's going on?
Yeah, I have one problem before my fight. I feel my sciatic.
Yeah.
And this bothered me a lot because the pain back, the pain go, I need to stretch, I need massage, I need to do that. But right now I feel good. I'm back to your son. I have like a
huge
103 kilos, no? Yeah. And I feel good, I feel healthy. I'm back to training anything in Muay Thai, rest and jiu-jitsu. Just waiting
for the call?
Man, imagine it right now. We're going to have the fight and finish the year. And maybe Anderson hurt. We never know. I'm waiting for my phone ring.
Throw the name out there. Absolutely. Throw the name in the hat. JT, let's talk about the Inner Circle Agency real quickly and some of the great stuff that you're doing for Mixed Martial Arts and for Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Well, myself, along with my partner Paul
and
Rasta, we've been doing this now for a little while. Our one-year anniversary is coming up in September, and we're doing something with Bruce Buffer that weekend.
Yep.
But basically, a lot of people ask me a lot. I've been in the promo game for about 16 years with the nightclubs and stuff.
Yep.
I'm doing this basically to bring something to the fans, because I see the MMA community. It's not even where it should be yet. It's still a growing sport, and it's only going to keep getting bigger. I think in another 5 to 10 years, you're going to see it at its pinnacle. You know, more and more gyms are opening.
Yeah.
A lot more people are getting educated. And as you can see, I deal with a lot of the guys who are, I call the foundation of the sport. The Tito Ortizes, the Vanderlei Silvas, the Ken Shamrocks. Without these kind of men, guys like John Jones and Cain Velasquez and Junior DeSantos and Jose Aldo, they wouldn't be fighting. These guys started something, and then these guys are carrying on the torch. So I like to educate the fans now who don't really know anything about MMA, about the history. Mm-hmm. And these guys are the history.
Absolutely.
And pride, I think, is one of the biggest foundations of mixed martial arts. And when I hear people disrespecting pride or saying anything about it, it hurts.
Yeah.
Because the guys who fought in pride are true warriors.
Absolutely.
And you look at the guys that came out of pride, you know, Nogueira brothers,
yep.
Krokop, Vanderlei,
Anderson,
yeah, Rampage.
Shogun,
Fedor Emelianenko.
Yep.
These are serious athletes.
Yep.
And these are superstars. You know, so it's good that the new fans coming up now get to learn about these guys and learn the history of the sport, because I personally think guys who fight in an octagon, they're a different breed of athlete. You know, you have hockey players, you have baseball players, you have football players. They play sports, but you don't play MMA.
Yeah.
It's a different ballgame.
Yeah.
So I have true respect for these guys. And that's what, you know, we do. That's what the Inner Circle is all about. And we take great pride in what we do. And we treat these guys with 5-star class the way we want to be treated.
Roll up in a big stretch SUV, you know, limo.
Limousines and the best food and the best parties and the best hotels. And they do something that an average person can't do. Mm-hmm. So we want to treat them the way they should be treated.
And more than that, he make the connection, because, man, he give you the opportunity for the fan camp, be together, talk some things, you know. And this is really important for us, because make that connection with the fighter, with the fan, you know. And this is so good for us, because the fans is the reason can we fight, man, you know. And sometimes we talk to somebody in the street, but that's different, you know. He organized the event. The people have the time with the fighters. And this is really important for us and for the fans. It's really good we have some guys like JT can organize these things and make these things happen.
Absolutely. That's Vanderlei Silva, the Axe Murderer, and JT from the Inner Circle Agency. If you want to hang out with Vanderlei Silva, he's all over the town. this weekend. Tonight, Ivy Social Club downtown from starting at 11:30 goes all the way, or not downtown, excuse me, in Woodbridge, 11:30 p.m. till 2 a.m. Tomorrow, MMA World Academy. There's an autograph signing there in Scarborough, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. We're going to throw all this stuff up on the website as well. If you want to watch the fights with him, with Vanderlei tomorrow night, that'll be at Boston Pizza at Highway 400 in Maple View in Barrie. And then on Sunday, Vintage Barbershop and autograph signing from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. in Hamilton. Vanderlei, my last question for you is there any one person right now that you really want to fight?
Good question. Right now, no, man. I'm waiting for what is going to happen. No? The scenario with the new champion move changed a lot. And I'm waiting for an interesting fight for the event, for the fans, no? And right now I feel good, I feel healthy, and I want to be ready to fight with anyone, no? And I want to say thanks for you and for JT for bringing me here in Canada. Always is so a lot of pleasure for me came here. I have a lot of friends over here, a lot of fans. And man, I feel so happy to come here in Toronto. And I hope one day I come here and fighting live for you guys. Thank you so much for all the support. Thanks so much for all the messages that the guys sent to me on Twitter. My Twitter and my Instagram is the same. It's a 1FC. And I hope saw you in one of that event. Thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. That was Vanderlei Silva, the Axe Murderer. Throwing the name out there, if Anderson Silva gets hurt, he's willing to fight at the end of the year for the 185-pound title. And if not, let's get him on a show in Toronto. Vanderlei, thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it. And I love you guys. I love Toronto. I love Canada. I'm so happy to be here. And I hope to see you.